You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We are in studio today, hopefully back in St. Joe tomorrow if the weather cooperates. That'll be our final day, scheduled at least, to be at training camp. Don't forget, training camp coverage brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. We will get to the trash of the day in about 17 minutes or so. A reminder, in the noon hour today, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid. We're also expected to have our Chiefs insider from ESPN, Nate Taylor, call in. So he's at practice. We'll get some insight from him. First practice post-preseason game. And with it being post-preseason game, it's time to head back to the island for an update.
Nine players arrive in St. Joe for Camp Island. Only one can take home the final prize. Who will be the 2025 Chiefs camp darling?
It's getting out of crunch time. We wanted to wait till after a preseason game to give some guys more of an opportunity. If you're just joining us for the first time, you heard right there. We started with nine. We've eliminated Jared Wiley, Elijah Mitchell, Jake Brenningstuhl, Noel Williams, Jaquarius Spivey. This is just to be camp darling. Doesn't mean Noel Williams can't still be a great player down the road. But here's who's on the island still: Breshard Smith, Tyquan Thornton, Omar Norman Lott, and Jalen Royals. Nobody's getting eliminated today, but we will have two guys eliminated during this week. In fact, tomorrow. The question today is, as we said, there's an opportunity to get somebody new on the island if they perform, if they have a performance that has people talking. And I think it's very safe to say, when you get one of the two throws from Patrick Mahomes in a preseason game.
Wow. So you think that Jason Brownlee?
I think Brownlee deserves to be on Camp Darling Island. I don't know if he's going to end up being the Camp Darling. Tyquan Thornton, to me, is still in a good spot. But Jason Brownlee, doesn't he have to get invited on the island, guys?
He apparently played in the NFL. I didn't know if he had an NFL rep. In 2023, he had five catches for 56 yards and a touchdown for the New York Jets. So he's been in the NFL.
The two names I would throw out there today, Brownlee, and I know he's a vet, so you guys are going to say he doesn't qualify, but Robert Tonyan was really good in the preseason. He's tight end three. He's tight end three. Jared Wiley?
Too hard to be a camp darling at a position that contains Travis Kelce.
I understand. We had Wiley and Brenningstuhl. Look, Jared Wiley.
They were the first two dudes eliminated.
Jared Wiley is in danger of being nothing more than a practice squad guy. He just hasn't done anything at camp. Brenningstuhl hasn't practiced. He's clearly done. I think Robert Tonyan deserves a look, and Jason Brownlee deserves
Somebody
a look.
Somebody said they wanted Issa Pohl to get a mention on here.
He's a practice. He's going to be a practice squad guarantee.
He looked good.
He did. He was playing in the fourth quarter.
Let's have a conversation about it. Here's my only issue with Brownlee. That was his only catch. He had one catch for a single yard.
But that's the role he might
have
this year.
It was good for a touchdown, but that man had one catch. He's getting on Camp Darling Island.
Are you suggesting that he might be what people thought Justin Ross would be?
Yes. Let's also be reasonable with this. Jason Brownlee's not going to have 500 yards receiving. Brownlee.
That's not what Cam Darling's about. It's not about your season.
Brownlee is a guy that maybe gives him what he did, which is why I still think in the preseason game, the only reason why he got snaps before some of the other guys is because they started their drive in the red zone because of the turnover on the kickoff. If they started the drive at their own 20, I don't know if Brownlee sees any snaps on the opening drive.
This is why this second preseason game is going to matter for Camp Darling Island and the eventual winner next Monday.
Yeah, so I think Brownlee or Bob Tonyan to Camp Darling Island.
Text line is mentioning a lot of Tonyan fans over there.
He looked good. He's going to be the third tight end. Brownlee, I think.
Big Bob. I think. Hang on a second. When we talk about Robert Tonyan, can we please just say Big Bob? Because
he's 31, though, is the problem for putting him on camp.
That's too old.
You can't be a darling anymore. I don't know if you can be a darling at age 31.
You ever seen anybody at 31 on a dating show? Unless it was the Golden Bachelor? We're not doing Golden Camp Darling Island. Camp Darlings have got to be under the age of 30.
That's not fair to him.
I mean, this is Camp Darling, not F-Boy Island, Cody. But at the same time, I think you're right. 31-year-old Tonyan can't be a darling. You're probably right.
Here, but Camp Darling?
Yeah.
You can't be in your 30s.
No Williams, though. I feel better about my pick there. Uh-huh. He's someone that I might make a case tomorrow to put back on the island as well. Was it him or CRW that forced the fumble on the return? CRW
had a really good
Christian Roland Wallace. He's not a darling candidate, but he actually had a nice preseason game.
I think
game.
You have a better argument for Chris for Roland Wallace than you do for some other guys just because of the game that he had.
All right, so we got to get down to 3 tomorrow. So if we want to put Brownlee in,
how
that's
are we
fine.
Do this?
But Brownlee's up for elimination
for
tomorrow.
Sure. I mean, if we had to eliminate somebody today, I know exactly who I would be eliminating.
Omar Norman Lott?
Yeah.
And Breshard Smith.
Or Breshard Smith, who did not have a good preseason game, no doubt.
So I'm fine with adding. Let's add Jason Brownlee today to Camp Darling Island. He's on the island, and tomorrow we'll discuss.
Which puts us up to 5 people, which means 2 have to be eliminated tomorrow.
That's fine. Hang on a second.
Oh, man, they could still be saved by Chiefs social media. Breshard Smith better catch some diving pass or something today.
So I'm curious. When are we making the determination on who wins?
Next Monday.
Okay.
2 preseason games is enough. Camp is over officially. We give them 1 more game to make their case, and then we declare the winner of Camp Darling.
So I'm worried. I want to ask a question. Regarding this game on Friday, let's say we get down to our final 3, and somebody has a day who's not on our list. Did they all of a sudden just come out of nowhere and win
Maybe.
It?
Maybe. Yeah, this is reality.
If Noah Williams, let's say Noah Williams is, or Omar Norman Lott is eliminated, whatever the case is. He's not a part of the final 3. But he has 4 sacks on Friday and forces a fumble, all of a sudden, could he come out of nowhere back in and win it?
Yes.
Or are we stuck to the final 3?
No, I do not think we're stuck to anything. Okay. In reality TV, you're not stuck to anything. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Okay.
That's right.
I like it.
5 years from now, we can name a co-champion.
Social media usually crowns themselves a Camp Darling. We decided to have Camp Darling Island this year, and it's winding down. You know, as the promos would say, if this was on, The Bachelor, Cody, it would be the most dramatic Camp Darling elimination day yet.
Yeah.
Is coming tomorrow.
I think you should get a promo goal for that.
You want me to? The most dramatic Camp Darling elimination in the show's history.
Tomorrow when we get down to 3.
We'll tell you who's coming.
That's usually when they get to meet the parents or something. Is there like a special thing we get to do for them?
We'll tell you who's getting eliminated from the island. After this break.
Geez, someone said a 31-year-old is damaged goods. And Big Bob is not damaged
the
goods.
Whole setup oh, of, the whole Jeez. Setup of Camp Darling is not for a vet. It's just
you
not.
You better come with that same energy when Big Bob catches a touchdown in a playoff game this year for the Chiefs.
Again, that's not what a Camp Darling is.
Someone says you can't just bring a new person to the island midseason. Oh, the Camp Darling is just a training camp thing. There will be no additions in the middle of the season. This is done in a week. This week.
Monday, we'll declare the winner.
After the second preseason game.
Man's been on 4 teams. He can't be a Camp Darling.
We give the winner a rose? We might get a cheap trophy made. And the trophy, if you guys remember, the cheap trophy would just be Justin Ross. Mm-hmm. He would be the de facto representative of that.
Yeah, yeah. The official Justin Ross trophy. Because that's really the Chiefs impetus behind where this
started. The Chiefs have like the Mackley Hill Award. We want to establish the Justin Ross Award, officially known as the Camp Darling.
Mm-hmm. Because he's the king of Camp Darlings, at least in the time we've been doing
it. And we're not allowed to rename it, correct? I don't want to get down the rabbit hole of renaming trophies anymore.
Cody, is he recent enough? Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty recent. That's actually following
the rule. He was technically on the team 3 weeks ago.
If we were naming after someone older, we should be calling like the Weston Dressler Award or some other guy from the 80s or 90s or something. But no, we're naming it after a recent one. It's already fitting, Mike.
So how can they win if they get eliminated? Because if you watch reality TV, somebody all of a sudden gets eliminated from the show, and then 3 weeks later, they're magically back on it. Or there's an ex that comes back on the show to cause trouble. I mean, that's basically right. What happens.
Exactly.
Somebody from a previous season all of a sudden just shows up. Yeah.
All right.
We'll
so
get
you
up to date on that tomorrow.
Camp Darling Island. Thank you. Congratulations to Jason Brownlee. You're on the island.
We were talking some Royals baseball here in the show. We'll get back to what was a frustrating series, obviously, against the Twins. And the same rule that applies, which means they got to go 5-1 in the next six games for this to even feel like they've got a chance. And you and I already think they're not making the postseason, but just from a mathematical standpoint, we know what they have to do here in the next few games. But I was thinking more about as the players sit, and this might be related to where they are in the standings. Jack Caglione's, and this is every player who's been in rehab for them, the slowest injuries on the planet this year. Michael Massey's been in rehab for 6 months,
He had a new injury. That's what happened there. He was rehabbing something else, and then he had a hairline fracture in his wrist, I think. So that was a different injury. But
So unfortunately for him, he's been on. But like Jack Caglione hasn't even started a rehab assignment. Asked around, the expectation would be that Jack Caglione would start a rehab assignment this week. Okay, good. Or later this week, early, you know, sometime in the next 7 days would start a rehab assignment. And then I started thinking about all the guys they traded for. Grichik and just like the way that they're and Yastrzemski is their leadoff guy now all of a sudden in two of the last three games and like the way that they've been structuring things, it's like these guys are gonna play. Is Jack Caglione's spot in the lineup safe when he comes back?
No, he's not guaranteed an everyday spot, not this year. We're talking about
what do they do with him? They play him part-time? Or they send him down to AAA and make him play? Because he's got to play every day, man.
Yeah, we have these conversations. A lot. Stuff sorts itself out. So in the next 2 weeks, let's call it, of a rehab assignment or a week of a rehab assignment for Cags, one, what does he look like in AAA? Two, are the Royals still in it on September 1 or August 26th or, you know, whatever time frame you want to give? Are they still in it to where they need Yastrzemski? You know what I mean? Because this year's team is still in it. Where they want to give Grichik bats, or is it over and it's like, well, might as well give the young kids some
at-bats. If it's over August 30th, then Jack Caglione should hit as much as possible.
That's what I'm alluding to, 100% with you. Yeah, exactly. So I think some of it sorts itself out. Are there other injuries? Here's what Vern, by the way, said this morning on with Fesco and Dusty about Cags.
Annie Rogers reported during the road trip that he could go on a rehab assignment as early as this week. That's been the latest update, but we'll talk with both JJ and Q coming up today at Kauffman Stadium. So, yeah, hopefully he's in Omaha this week, put together a good 2 weeks in Omaha, maybe join this team coming up at the end of the month. That would be my assumption.
So that was Vern this morning with Fesco and Dusty. I think he will have to perform well, but also depends on truly where's the team standing in the standings for the postseason push, that's still a push.
I'll be honest. Let's say they're three games back, four games back. They're obviously going to try to make the postseason this year, even if they're four games back on August 25th.
Yeah, but if the thing goes south and they're six or seven.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, let's just say they're in the same range they are now. Where technically it's mathematically possible, but things are looking dicey. There's no universe in which I wouldn't just make Jack Kegley on the full-time starter again. You've already started that process.
I mean, I'll tell you who I wouldn't be playing. I wouldn't be playing, you know, John Rave, and I wouldn't be playing MJ Melendez. It would either have to be Yastrzemski or Cags, and it can be both, by the way, based on the outfield. You can have Yastrzemski play left, right? You could, and you could have Cags be in right
and
field.
And Grichik can just be the Sunday starter or the twice-a-week guy or the move around. There is no universe that I would not be playing Caglione full time. He is still too important of a player for 2026. And let's just say you are 3.5 games back, 4 games back, August 25th. For all the things that we started the show with, it'd be like, what makes you think this team could do that? Your best chance still to jumpstart the offense is Jack Caglione just gets white hot and starts plunking the ball over the fence every night. You know, your better chance of finding all of these things still exist inside that window for me. I was just thinking about, I was like, man, I don't think his spot's guaranteed. Asking around a little bit, like, hey, would he be? And essentially the answer I got called was, hey, when Jack Caglione is off his rehab assignment, let's say it's 2 weeks from now, later this week, he goes on a rehab assignment, he rehabs for a week, everything's fine. So 2 weeks from now, Jack Caglione's ready to play. That was the way I phrased it. Is his spot safe? And the answer to that I got was, depends on how other guys are playing. As in, if Yastrzemski and Grichik are hot, And Rafe's not.
That makes sense to me.
Maybe not.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I think it should be his spot no matter what. I think that you've just kind of made your bed with this one. I understand he's not a vet. A vet would just get their spot back, right? If you're just already an established good major league player, wouldn't really matter how the other guys
but
are
it,
playing.
But I mean, if you're in a playoff, if they're still actually in a playoff push at that point in time, and realistically, and someone's performing well and helping you win games, that guy's going to stay in the lineup. I mean, I have no problem with that. Long term, I mean, we will be talking in spring training next year about Cags clearly being the starting right fielder for the team, and I'll be very excited about his 2026 campaign. But right this second, the reality is he obviously hadn't performed good enough. And if Yastrzemski is playing well and the team is in the hunt, then I want the player that's playing better. The question is not about who has the higher ceiling. Duh, it's Jack Caglione.
Yep.
It's for a final 30 games, who gives you the best chance to win? Not what we think that player can do, but who gives you the best chance to win? And if we're in that spot in 10 or 14 days where it's clear that it's Yastrzemski, then that's fine, even though there's no long-term future.
Here's the other part I would do. I would get Yastrzemski and Cags and these other guys. I'd put them in the DH spot, and I'd get Salvador Perez an extra day off. Man's playing. We said this from the beginning. I know that I end up missing the show because I got stung on the lip by a yellow jacket.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I know we were going to talk about it, and you and I talked about it individually. He's playing too much. He comes up last night, Target Field, a place that he's absolutely raked his entire career. He can't play like that at that level this entire time. It's just, it's too much. There's a window of like DH to catcher. And like, if the choice is give Salvi a day off, Luke Maley has to just catch and then we move it, fine. It's when like Maley and Salvi are in there together, it feels like it bogs down anything you can do in the late innings. You can't replace Maley, so he has to hit. No matter how big the spot is, he has to hit. And like that becomes a big challenge versus if Salvi just gets the day off and you need a late inning pinch hit, Salvi can come in the game then. Play part of a game, Maley doesn't have to hit in a big spot, and you get the better lineup in there. I would just find a way to play Jack Caglione every day. When he's healthy and ready, I'd find a way to play him. We'll have JJ Piccolo join the show tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of just sorts
about it a little bit.
To me, it just sorts itself out though, and like it'll be pretty obvious in 10 or 14 days, however long his rehab stint needs to be, you know? And I'll also be curious, AAA, we know he dominated AAA. Does he go on this rehab assignment, and the Storm Chasers' first game is tomorrow. They're off today. It's a Monday. And then the Storm Chasers play tomorrow back in Omaha. So that's when I'm guessing you'll see his first game in a rehab assignment. Does he just crush it immediately in Omaha? And you're like, okay. Or is he all of a sudden, is there a problem down there? Like there's a lot of things that come into play here to change the potential outlook for this year. This is not about a long-term outlook. We're talking just for this final 35, 40 games, whatever it is at this point.
Go back and see him in Omaha again.
I don't think I'll be driving to Omaha with Dusty for the rehab assignment. I don't think that'll be in the cards.
See, this energy I don't totally understand, which is from the 620. Okay. Says there's a better chance Jack completely ruins his confidence rather than gain it. So he's like this. I don't know. Like he's going to get more confidence by playing in AAA.
AAA does nothing for him. He's got a rehab assignment because that's a normal thing, but AAA in general does nothing. AAA doesn't do anything for you. He's doing the normal rehab assignment. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. You're asking why it's taken so long. They're going to be really cautious. I mean, it is it is still a future piece for them.
Would he be playing by now if they were two games up in the wild card?
No, I don't think so. I think a soft tissue injury, it's also still summertime. You're dealing with like, you're not going to rush that. All of a sudden, he comes back too quick, and then he's done for the year, and then you just wonder if you screwed something up bigger and needs a longer rehab in the offseason. Like, you know, there's no reason to do that. I don't think it matters whether a team was five under 500 or five above from a recovery standpoint. Now, to what you're asking there is a question I would have with Cole Reagans. If this team at the end of the month is out of
it,
does Reagans pitch again in 2025? That, to me, is more of a question.
Can't believe we're still, like, weeks away from these guys. Yeah. Contributing to this team. Again, this goes back to the same thing. Win some games, and then we can have a talk.
Trash of the day.
We go to Pennsylvania for this one. A heist of some sort.
We do like a good heist on this show.
Who doesn't? Heist movies, heist stories. They're great. Heists. So, this one involves Pine Sol. You use Pine Sol in the house?
No.
Lemon scent? You like that lemon scent?
I like over-scented stuff.
Okay. Drew, you ever use some Pine Sol?
It's not the brand of floor cleaner I use.
But you're well aware of it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes, sure.
So,
I mean, they had very prolific ad campaign there for a long time.
Yes, they did. So $400,000 worth of Pine Sol was stolen. Pennsylvania State Police are investigating a tractor trailer and its cargo container carried about $400,000 worth of Pine Sol stolen early Sunday. The semi belonged to a professional freight services, was found empty along with its container valued at roughly $2,000. The cargo was being transported for three different companies, which are now listed as robbery victims. The theft occurred around 1 a.m. No suspects have been identified. Authorities are urging anyone with information to contact the state police, and if you smell a bunch of lemons, to call them. I added that last part,
This is always... So do you think that they were just like, let's just rip off this truck, we don't know what's in it. Let's hope it's something good.
No,
or
was
the plan all along to rip off $400,000 worth of... If they're $8 a bottle, which I don't know, with inflation maybe they are, that'd be 50,000 bottles of pine.
So you think
what
that
are you
going to
do? Hawk them $5 at a time from the corner?
So do you
You're never getting that money. How the hell are you going to get rid of... You're going to try to go door to door at office buildings and hope somebody will buy them from you?
So you think that they saw this container, they had a plan to rob
Crime of opportunity.
A container that they knew always had stuff in it, and then they had the wrong item. Here's why I get the thought, and I think it could be true. My only pushback with that theory is... When they were stealing it, you're telling me nobody opened one of the boxes to see what they were stealing? And then if they didn't want it, they would have said, ah, darn, we thought these were the MacBooks.
Trying to move quick. They're not trying to, like, they're just, like, hooking a trailer up and ditching. They took the whole trailer, too.
So you
too.
Think they just hooked, they didn't even open a single box till they got home. And now
they hooked up the trailer and they left. And now they're stuck with $400,000 with a pine saw, and they don't know what to, what
else? Is there another use for pine saw?
How are you going to dispose of 50,000 bottles of pine saw?
Is there other uses we don't know about for pine sol? Like, is it used to mix with anything else?
You can't put
it
up on Facebook Marketplace and be like, I got cases of pine sol. What do you think the cops are going to be looking for? You're the first guy they're looking at when you got cases. Who else has cases of pine sol to sell?
Exactly, yeah. Nobody else is doing that sort of thing.
So you either sell them for $5 at a time, like, and I buy, you know, illegal burned DVDs from the bus stop. Or, you know, like, or you're just sitting on $50,000 worth of it.
Someone says, is it true that it's illegal in 9 countries?
Pine sol?
Is that true? Why would it be illegal? Is there a chemical in there that's just not legal in some other countries? What, are they selling it to those? Someone says pine sol cannot be traced. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with the pine sol. Someone says they drive trucks. We get training for overnight for things like this. The thief does not know what's in the trailer. They just take what they can get, and they hope that it's... I hope it works. Someone says a scheme to get the product off cost trucking companies millions. Doesn't matter what's in there, they get them. Huh.
Okay. Here are 8 things Southern Living says you can do with pine sol besides clean. Get gunk off of your hairbrushes. Create a fly or wasp repellent. So maybe I could use some pine sol.
Yeah.
Keep trash cans and pests at bay. Disinfect surfaces during flu season.
Someone says, does it smell like lemon or original? It depends. I always remember as the pine sol lemon scent, but I guess they do have an original one. The commercials were always about the lemon, the fresh lemon scent.
Yeah, the original scent is the pine.
But the lemon was the popular one all of a sudden.
What site were you reading those suggestions off of, or those things off of?
That was Southern Living.
Southern Living, okay. Mm-hmm.
They said you could also fresh up your magazine lawn furniture. I just looked up surprising uses for pine sol.
Black market smelling salts, pine sol. That'll wake you up. That'll get you going.
From the 816, you know you're screwed when even Cody can't think of a scheme to save the crime. I got nothing for you.
Someone says
maybe.
Looked
it up, and now you got to figure out a way to dispose of $400,000 worth of pine sol.
Another text did say, maybe you're saying, what do they use? Maybe they have a huge crime they're trying to cover up.
Oh, you know.
Get it?
Great point.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. Huge crime. A huge crime.
I like to think that this was a cleaning business and they were sick of paying for it. And so they created a heist in order to cover their pine saw costs for the next 25 years.
What do you think? Mary Maids is now sending it out to all their franchises?
Be an easy way to get rid of it. You don't have to prove to anybody the invoice for that stuff. You know?
Alrighty. That's the trash of the day. A $400,000 pine saw heist. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk about a prediction that's out there from our favorite Mike Florio, this time about Rashee Rice.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy?
And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
A full half hour of Chiefs talk coming your way. We're going to hear from Andy Reid in just a second.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Practice in St. Joe has just wrapped up. Nate Taylor is going to join us within about half hour, 45 minutes or so, as practice ended actually a little bit earlier than we thought, despite starting later. Head coach Andy Reid addressing the media from St. Joe.
Right. As far as the injuries go here, Breen Stuhl did not practice today. Hollywood didn't practice. Deion Bush had an Achilles tendon rupture. We'll get that fixed. Driscoll had the appendectomy. He got it fixed, so we're doing good there. Janarius Robinson ended up having a foot fracture right on his little toe there. And then Jalen Watson had a concussion. Other than that, everybody got out there and moved around. So we had a 10-10-10 practice today, working some situational things, and it was good work. As far as the game goes, very similar to what I mentioned to you after the game, that too many mistakes. As far as penalties go, you have 108 yards of penalty. That's, like I mentioned, a good rushing day for a running back. You can't have that. You can't go backwards on the offensive side, and you can't allow them to move forward on the defensive side. So we've got to clean that up. Within that, there were some good individual efforts with some of the young guys. It was good to see them practice. It was good to see that the young guys on the left side of the line do their thing. A couple of defensive players, young guys, I thought did well. You know, Williams jumped out with some big physical plays on special teams and on the defensive side, and so anyway, but I thought the young guys collectively did a nice job. So with that, time's yours.
Andy, you mentioned left side of line. Just after you watched Kingsley over again, what'd you think of his performance?
I thought he did a good job. You know, he both he and Simmons, I thought, worked well together. You know, they didn't have a ton of snaps, but what they had, I thought they did well with.
Coach, sticking on the offensive line, we noticed Mike Caliendo working with the ones at left guard, center, and right guard. What are you hoping to see out of him before the camp wraps up?
Yeah, I thought Mike actually played well in the game, too. But I would expect that. I mean, we look at him like he's a starter, so which he did last year. He got great experience last year, so we have pure confidence that he could step in and play either of those positions that you mentioned there.
Coach, you mentioned some of those penalties in the game. How do you kind of address that here at camp and at practice?
Yeah, you just have to detail your work. You have to focus in on the game plan, know what where you're at, and then understand the snap counts, and you have to up your attention span there so that you get those covered.
Andy, how did you see the end of the receiver room, the roster spots for that? How do you see that competition shaking out right now?
Yeah, listen, we'll have a tough decision to make, Brett, Will, and the coaches. So there's some good players there. And we'll just see how it sorts out here. We got a couple more games, a few more practices. So we'll see how it all sorts out before we have to make those cuts. But listen, I'm pleased with what we have there and some of the young guys and how they're going out here and producing. You know, so.
Coach, with Hollywood, what's kind of the state of that ankle? Like, did he end up having a high ankle sprain, or is that something you feel?
Yeah, it's not really a high ankle sprain. It's more ankle foot area. He's making great progress, so he's up and he's running now a little bit, so that's a positive. I don't think he's too far off, but we'll see. Yeah, he's doing good. Yeah.
Coach, can you talk about what Robert Tonyan's bringing to the table? He had such a good game.
Yeah, Robert did. He did some good things. There's some things he's got to work on. He's a veteran guy. He knows that more in the run game than probably the pass game. But I thought he caught the ball well. He had some big catches, and then he had the one drop. He'd like to have back, but he'll figure that one out and get it taken care of. But this guy's been productive in the league, so he gets it. And he's been banged up a little bit, and he's been able to keep himself healthy and on the field, which has been probably the issue over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks,
Chris.
All right, thanks.
All right, so that was Andy Reid. Obviously, a couple updates on the injury front. A few of them we kind of knew about on Saturday night. Confirming, though, Jalen Watson dealing with a concussion. Obviously, Deion Bush, that was a bummer to see. Everybody knew it was serious right away. An Achilles rupture, so he's done for the season. You heard Driscoll just from offensive line depth had an appendectomy, appendix rupture, needed his appendix removed, I should
say.
So never a good thing there. At the end there, he was asked about Hollywood Brown. Let's start there, because it went from a week or so ago, like, you know, if it was serious, you know, that'd be like if it required surgery or something, and it's not serious. Then you heard him say, like, he's about to start running or is starting to run. And
so you're telling me after 2 weeks, he's just now running.
He's getting close. Still sound like it could be a few weeks.
I was gonna say, we're not seeing Hollywood Brown in preseason.
And by the way, I'm fine with that. I said that before he got hurt. So I'm good with that. But the opener is what, 20, what are we now? Like 25 days away, something like that?
Yeah.
He needs to be set up to be practicing, obviously, more than a week out of the game.
I'll have to go find one of those.
Knowing that Rashee Rice is probably getting suspended week one, you have to have Brown. And that's, by the way, why they're going to be very cautious with this, my guess is. But have to have Brown and Worthy available week one if you're not going to have Rashee Rice, which we're still waiting for the suspension news. We're 4 days away from the deadline that you and I always set for NFL suspensions. Got to let us know on the 15th. Otherwise, it's absurd.
I'm waiting.
4 days.
Like, do you want to let me know at some point? Yeah, I solved Mike Florio's most recent guess, which is he said he expects it to be between 6 and 10 games and that some people are going to be upset when it's on that higher end of the range. Okay, so there's two things going on here. Florio's sourcing on the Chiefs has been ass, and I think that we should acknowledge that as we talk about this. It feels like he's mostly just been guessing.
Yeah, now the suspension, like, he wouldn't need it. Chiefs, inside. He could get that from the NFL side.
But he spent like 3 years trying to tell me Andy Reid was getting ready to retire.
Right.
And that obviously was just not accurate. Second, is this feels like a setup just so he can throw a fit when he gets four and say, they took it too easy on the Chiefs, only gave Rashee Rice 4 games. Bum, bum, bum. I still think, even though he's reporting he thinks it might be between 6 and 10 games, I still think it's between 4 and 6. I guess I'd just be surprised if the NFL decided to make a point on Rashee Rice because of something that multiple players have done. Now, his caused an accident, caused bodily harm, the things that we know took place that don't happen, and every time somebody did, but we just mentioned this. Jordan Addison was going 140 miles an hour a year ago. And then got caught with a lesser than, but a DUI-like charge on his end, and he only got 3 games. I'm not saying it has to be one for one. One guy was a misdemeanor, the other guy got a couple of felonies. But I don't think they're just going to hammer him with 10 games to make a point over this.
Well, it's the NFL, so sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. I mean, I don't think it's a 0% chance. I would be floored if they gave him a 10-game suspension, and I would question it quite a bit, given some others, but they don't always have a rhyme or reason how they do it. I'll still say the 4 to 6 range. If it's 7, I'll say, well, that's a really strong punishment. Won't be shocked. Anything above that to me would be ridiculous, just considering. And that's not to downplay the severity of what Rashee Rice did. It's just the reality of how the NFL handles punishment. You know, they're not suspending guys for full seasons. They're not, that's the stuff, you know, the weird part you get into.
They
is
didn't
this,
give Deshaun this, a full season.
You get into this weird moral stuff because, you know, Tucker and Deshaun were never convicted of a crime. They weren't. There's civil suits and certain very serious allegations, but they got 10 games or 11 games and there wasn't a criminal conviction.
Criminal charge, yeah.
So
do you care about the level of penalty or not?
And so you get in this weird area, like, are you going to give Rice the same amount of games as you gave Justin Tucker? On one hand, you'd say, well, yeah, one guy has two felonies. On the other hand, we all know what Tucker is accused of. So it's, again, it gets kind of dirty and gross because you start weighing like, well, this isn't as bad as this. Not saying that nobody's saying that what Addison did wasn't bad, but it's quote unquote, not as bad, obviously, because nobody got hurt. And he also didn't have two felonies. So you just, it's going to be more than three. I think that's very clear. But is it four or is it six or is it, Florio claims 10, which I think would be absurd.
I'd be stunned.
Based off of the NFL track record.
Is that a number where you'd finally be like, hey, that's too hard?
Yes.
Because like, I'm not feeling really bad for
eight
Rashee
or more.
Rice for any.
Eight or more, I would
and
say.
And I'm not offended still.
Yeah, eight or more, and I would say that's a bit harsh considering their track record. If it's 4, 5, 6, 7, I get it. Totally get it. And honestly, that's the range it should be in.
Mine is more than 8. Like, if it's a half a season, sorry, man, you drove 130 miles an hour, you caused an accident, you left the scene of that crime.
Yeah.
You did a lot of mistakes that led to that. You then had to settle for the felonies. You're going to go to, you're going to spend 30 days in jail, and you had to settle all the civil stuff to go with it. We give you 8, you just got to kind of take it. If it's 10, I'm like, okay. That's when it's starting to get into the range of being like, relax a little. Now, I will say, between Hollywood and this thing, let's just say it's 8. Hollywood, who I assume will still be healthy in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think
even
he'll play week one.
Andy called it not serious, and then he hasn't run for 2 weeks, so that's just not accurate. Go, if I don't run for 2 weeks, I've been seriously hurt. I'm not saying I'm injured for life, but if I don't run for 2 weeks, that's beyond, like, I twisted an ankle, I'll see you back in a couple of days. But so, when you're talking about that injury, it goes back to the same thing. Like, am I going to really have to watch the Chiefs offense 6 games this year in the middle of the season or like weeks 2 through 8 where there's no Hollywood and no Rashee Rice and I got to go back to Xavier Worthy's the one and then I'm just
Juju and Jalen Royals.
Yeah, I don't want Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, yeah.
That's as bad as last year. So I don't want to get, they need Rice and Hollywood really together, but they need at least one on the field during that stretch in order to make it feel like they're not right back in the same situation wide receiver-wise. Now, if they're better offensive line, I'd still predict them to be a better offense.
So let's say he gets 6. Does that – I don't think it should cause for worry necessarily, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you be at concern-wise just in regards to the start of the season where we know they'll play Philly? They have the Ravens during that stretch as well, right? Like in terms of, of the start of the season, like where is your worry meter – is that like a 2 still? Like
for Hollywood?
Just for the wide receiver room in general and the offense. Like, no way. Let's say Hollywood's out, and let's say Rashee's out for at least the first 2 or 3 games. If we're looking at a 6-game suspension for Rashee and then questions around Hollywood, does that concern you for how they start the season? Or are you still just like, oh, no, it's going to be totally fine and it's going to work itself out? Just for the sake of conversation, because they play Philly, they play Baltimore. I mean, there's some tougher games.
They still have Mahomes, and I do think that their offensive line is improved. So I'm not going to be here.
Should
and be
it
like,
change anything you're saying?
But it changes what we were discussing Friday, which is the idea if you think they're going to be this top 5 offense, that's not happening without Rashee Rice for 8 games or Hollywood Brown missing, you know, only playing in 10 games. Like that scenario is not going to work. You know, I think we've gotten a little spoiled the last 2 years on how quickly Rice and Worthy picked up the offense in their respective rookie years, and they were forced into bigger roles. Like asking Jalen Royals to do that, I think, understanding where he was drafted compared to those guys, I would not expect the same ability if all of a sudden they had multiple injuries that Jalen Royals were talking in week 13 about being one of the best wide receivers on the team or available on the team at that. That's a big problem if that's the case. But I think the scenario that for week one, and this is why they're going to be very cautious with Brown, not only with his track record, but knowing that a Rice suspension is coming, you just have to make sure Brown is available week one. And your hope is you would love for Brown to play in all the games. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen. But can you at least have, you tell me that Rice has gone for 6 games week one through six, can Hollywood Brown, can you get him to stay healthy? Can he find a way to stay healthy weeks one through six until, at minimum, until Rice comes back? Obviously, we'd like him healthy all year, but yeah. If you're asking for the perfect timeline, Hollywood Brown, if you're going to miss time, can we get 2 months out of you, please, while we're waiting for Rice to come back?
If you're going to be not healthy, can it be Halloween or later before that becomes an issue? Thanks. But yeah, Drew, because of that, am I worried that they're not going to have enough weapons on offense again? Sure. Mm-hmm. Because then they're relying on the same thing. 100 billion targets for Travis Kelce. And, you know, like, so, like, you got to couple that with the fact that you've got to take another leap from Xavier Worthy or need him to be last six games of the season Xavier Worthy, or you're counting on another rookie to develop
Juju
and Jalen Royals or Juju.
Of course.
Yeah, it's just asking a lot. And look, Juju's just got limitations, okay? Like, that's counting on him. I'd almost rather count on Tyquan Thornton to be just like the random X guy than Juju at this point. It's not a knock on Juju. He's the Justin Watson of the group.
I think Thornton is down. If Brown misses time and Rice, Brown is going to be Tyquan Thornton more than to me Rice. If Rice is gone for a certain amount of time, that's where Royals and Juju fit that. Like if we're just asking type of receiver, watching them run, Juju, Royals and Rice are all the same type of receiver. Not saying they're all near the same level, but the same type of receiver. Whereas Thornton to me is more the Worthy or Brown type of receiver.
Yeah, from the 785, Royals is going to be a beast. I'm not worried. Now, look, even if you think that's the case, and I'm not saying he can't be. He might be a very good NFL player. He's a fourth round pick.
I don't think it's happening as rookie year.
Odds suggest it wouldn't happen that early. I would remind you that the last two wide receivers that you really like in Kansas City, in Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, took at least 8 games before they turned into that. And in Xavier Worthy's case, it took 8 games, and he still only finished with less than 700 yards.
He was also a first-round pick.
And Hollywood Brown finished with like 800 yards. And they were a first-round pick and a second-round pick, and it still took them more than half of this season.
Rashee Rice,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You said Hollywood Brown. Yeah, you're good.
Rashee Rice, the second-round pick. And it still took them half of the season in Rice and Worthy to come around on it.
Yeah.
So even if you think Royals is the goods, the odds that he's the goods in the amount of time we're talking about, the part of the season in which they will be without Rashee Rice due to the suspension, that's just incredibly unlikely. It's already unlikely that he's that guy anyway. It's an even more increased in unlikelihood if you said, but he has to be that guy in the first 6 weeks of the season. Because Worthy wasn't that guy in the first 6 weeks of the season. They were thrown to all kinds of other random people before he came around. And he still finished with less than 700 yards. Isn't that crazy? Like, you look at Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy's rookie years, and in your head, they did these, like, oh, my God, what do they get in a rookie receiver? And it's like 650 yards for Xavier Worthy. And, like, what, 850 or 9 for Rashee Rice's rookie year? He was more, but, I mean, it wasn't 1,000. I don't remember the exact number now. God, this is the sucky part about Rashee Rice. You get a second-round pick right. You have a nice rookie year out of him. You win a Super Bowl. There's no complaint about like the way the season ended. Then you get nowhere close to a season at all. And now you might miss a whole nother half of the season. You only get the guy in a 4-year contract. You're going to blow 2 of those 4 years. One on his own doing. The other one just because of a freak injury. But it's like, that's a tough spot. 938, actually. It's closer to 1,000, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Rice. I mean, we knew at the time, last offseason, when he made the decision that he made, a terrible one, that resulted in multiple people being injured and then obviously criminal consequences. The day, maybe it's today, maybe it's in a week or so, it certainly will be by week one, there will be football consequences to that as well. And you're about to have to pay that part of the punishment off. And that hurts everybody involved. No question.
Himself included.
That's the reality of putting yourself in the spot and making that decision.
Maybe it's going to throw to Jason Brownlee a lot, you know?
That's right.
We've already decided he's been added to Camp Darling.
He is on the island.
I've heard Andy now talk about the offensive line play a couple of times. I went back. Somebody posted some highlights. So I didn't go back and watch the first quarter of a preseason game. But I tried to watch some of the way I thought the offensive line moved in that first drive with Gardner Minshew. I don't know, man. They look pretty stable right now. I think Kingsley looked acceptable. I'm not saying he looked like a monster. Simmons looked like he essentially just made no mistakes. So a mistake-free Simmons and a only kind of notice Kingsley. I think what you pointed out is kind of where I am. I don't want to spend every game noticing the offensive line. And between Juwan Taylor's 70 false starts over the last 2 years and bad left tackle play and all the stuff they had to do to move left guard to left tackle and all that stuff, feels like all we've done for two straight years is talk about the offensive line. And at least for one quarter of one preseason game, I didn't have to.
Yeah, that's,
and that felt like a nice win.
Really good offensive line play from your tackles means you don't talk about them. And if you do, it's because they pancaked somebody and it was a ridiculous block and put someone on their ass. That's it. Otherwise, you don't want to talk about your tackles. And it's 11 snaps for Simmons in a preseason game. I don't want to overblow it, but it was 11 snaps that you love to see because you didn't really think much about it, which means he was out there doing what he should do and holding his own and hopefully building Mahomes' confidence even more in what he's going to be able to do for him. And that hopefully opens some things up elsewhere in the offense. Simmons did what you wanted to see. Kingsley, mixed bag, I guess, at left guard, but it's also difficult, I think, if we're being honest, unless you played the sport, to give a full-blown breakdown on left guard play in a game. When it's really bad, you notice it, but if someone's just average or whatever at left guard, it's not the most obvious thing. People, as I always say, because you paid $19.99 to subscribe to the All-22, doesn't mean you're suddenly some film expert, even though people think they are. I'll trust what Mitchell Schwartz tweeted out about it. I'll trust what Jeff Schwartz and other former linemen tweeted out about what they saw from offensive linemen before the random guy that's just subscribing for $19.99 a month and is a film expert all of a sudden.
So I was going to talk about the video. I think it was Jeff Schwartz that did this one, but he was talking about Josh Simmons. And in the video, he mentioned how his stance is a lot like Juwan Taylor's, where his left leg
is back.
Not that it would be a problem.
It's not uncommon. There's lots of guys that do that.
But I wonder,
just by not starting early.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a... how much of an advantage that actually plays, where when he was going through it, he talked about how quick Josh Simmons was off the ball, where it seemed like at times Kingsley and I mean, even Tooney, to some extent, Tooney was better, but it would be right after the snap. And somebody mentioned on the text line, Mahomes is having to almost run right after the snap was there, where it feels like he'll at least, Patrick Mahomes will have that comfort of knowing, I at least have a little bit of time. Even if Josh Simmons gets beat, I know that he's going to have some space covered where he's just not going to get blown by. I mean, that obviously is something comfortable to have, where we talk about the offense, and if you have that offensive line playing better and smooth, the offense is already technically upgraded to a degree anyway.
Like the text line, this is how bad it's been for Juwan Taylor. The text line said, wait, is it actually 70 false starts? It can't be that bad, right? That's not the actual number, is it? No, it's not. It's not quite that many. But the fact, it says a lot that you had to like think for a second to say, is it that many? And you're like,
that is a lot.
It's not that many, but he does lead the league over the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's the most penalized offensive lineman or player. Yeah.
You know, so he gets a lot of them. I'm just saying it's not 70. It's probably 70 over the last 4 years. He's probably good for one a game, right? On average, there were games when he had two or three.
Well, the first year in Kansas City was, the first 4 weeks was a disaster. And the spotlight, I still think Chris Collinsworth caused a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
From that Sunday night game 2 years ago. The opener, or Thursday night, I guess it would have been the Thursday night game from a couple years ago. All right, up next, guys, let's get to what's trending. Plus, we are expected to have Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, call us from St. Joe. We'll find out what he saw from camp. Does he agree with some of our takeaways from the preseason game? That's coming up.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.